display devices. Cathode ray tubes have been in widespread use for electronic displays for the past 40 years, and to a lesser extent for many years before that. During these years, many variations of the basic design have appeared, numbering in the thousands. As might be expected from these considerations, the technology from which to draw for practically any desired variation of the design for special purposes is vast, and development work is still continuing on improvement of individual features. Most of the improvements are in matters of degree rather than of kind, therefore, and the real improvements depend mainly upon the advent of new materials or upon new functional requirements. In the last several years, the advent of solid-state and gaseous panel displays as future competitors to the CRT in displays has forced equipment designers to consider replacement of CRTs with these lighter and more compact components. While these are not yet readily available in such form as to be as versatile as the CRT, they can replace the CRT in limited applications, such as alphanumeric and textual displays. The features of lightweight, small depth, low power drain, low voltage, and compatibility with digital computer outputs have made these displays appear very attractive. In the interim period, while the CRT must still be used, the CRT manufacturers have tried to include some of these features in CRT designs. The most obvious place for improvement of the CRT is in the heater cathode unit, which is very inefficient. In many otherwise all-solid-state equipment units employing a CRT for display, the heater of the CRT may require as much or more power than the entire remainder of the unit. The usual heater requires 6.3 volts at 600 milliamperes, or 3.8 watts, but a miniature heater cathode developed recently requires only 1.5 volts and 140 milliamperes, or 210 milliwatts. While this is insufficient power for many of the larger CRTs, there have been numerous heater cathodes designed with intermediate power requirements between these extremes. To reduce the physical size of the CRT, efforts have been made to reduce the tube length. Besides reducing the space at the rear of the tubes occupied by wire leads, base presses, and tube bases, reductions have been made in the distances between the center of deflection and the phosphor screen by increasing the deflection angle for a given screen size. This has necessitated redesign of deflection plates for electrostatic tubes and inclusion of dynamic focus correction schemes for both electrostatic and electromagnetic tubes. Wide deflection angle tubes up to 120 degree diagonal included angle are available. In the area of CRT phosphors, the major interest lately has been concerned with the rare earth activated phosphors, especially at the red end of the visible spectrum. These produce much brighter and more nearly saturated colors than the phosphors previously used. Since there has lately been a growing interest in color displays, these phosphors are directly applicable. A further feature that would be of considerable interest would be a range of persistence characteristics of these color phosphors. Other phosphors that have been developed recently emit radiation in the ultraviolet spectrum, one peaking around 3800 angstroms and another around 3200 angstroms. These phosphors are intended for direct recording upon ultraviolet-sensitive films and papers. To permit recording by contact printing directly on the face of the CRT without lenses, special fiber-optic faceplates having enhanced transmission in these ultraviolet spectral regions have been developed. Voltage-sensitive and current-sensitive two-color cathode ray tubes using a single gun are now available and on the market. In the voltage-sensitive two-color CRT, the two-color capability is achieved by the deposition upon the faceplate and activation of two phosphor layers, red and green, separated by a barrier. In one mode of operation, one phosphor layer only is activated. In the second mode of operation, the potential is high enough to cause electrons to pass through the first phosphor layer, through the barrier, and thus activate the final phosphor layer. High-speed, high-voltage switching circuits, 6 to 12 kV approximately, are required. Since the differential beam voltages required for penetration to successive layers result in the electron beam having deflection sensitivities not linearly related to the voltage, external corrective circuitry is required to ensure proper registration. The current-sensitive two-color tube provides a color shift from yellowish-green to yellowish-orange. This color shift is obtained by combining a phosphor that has a superlinear intensity versus current density behavior with a phosphor that has a linear or sublinear behavior and a different emission color. Provisions must be made for changing current density whenever a color shift is required. The color shift occurs, of course, at a sacrifice in brightness modulation. in an embodiment of a tube designed to approximate the form factor of a panel display, and additionally to be directly addressable with binary signals, a multiplicity of electron beams from an area cathode are gated through several successive perforated dynode plates bearing binary selection electrodes until finally only one beam is permitted to emerge at selected coordinates. This beam may then be modulated by another perforated electrode before striking a phosphor screen. The assembly can be very thin and can produce a satisfactory halftone picture. At this time, feasibility has been demonstrated, but a great deal remains to be done before operational tubes suitable for general purpose are available. An actual panel display that may prove to be the most serious competitor for the cathode ray tube is the plasma display panel. This consists of an array of gas cells at somewhat less than atmospheric pressure, separated from conductive electrodes at either end of each cell by a layer of glass or other transparent dielectric material. A low radio frequency alternating voltage is applied between the electrodes, usually to all the cells in parallel. Each cell has a memory contained in the charge stored upon the dielectric surfaces. A cell can be turned on or off in its memory by application of a suitable pulse by XY coordinate axis. Thereafter, if the cell is on, each alternation of the sustaining voltage will produce a flash of light, while the same sustaining voltage will produce no light if the cell is off. Current investigations indicate that a cell can remember a number of discrete stable states, affording possibly a halftone memory. In addition, it appears that arrays can be made with groups of cells emitting several different colors, so that a color image can be displayed. In principle, these panels can be made very inexpensively, and with an extremely large number of cells per panel, so that the principal drawbacks of the solid-state displays are not present. Light-emitting diode displays are an attractive approach for achieving flat panel types of display devices. The diode type of display is already having a significant impact in alphanumeric small area displays and in bar graph and symbolism types of displays in instrumentation applications. However, the light-emitting diode display composed of discrete elements will be limited in use to applications which require a relatively small number of resolution elements, certainly no more than a few thousand elements at most. If no other factors were involved, cost considerations alone would lead to this conclusion, since the most optimistic projections do not predict the cost of individual light-emitting elements reaching a level of less than $1 per element in the next several years. The successful exploration of appropriate monolithic techniques wherein a relatively large number of resolution elements, at least several hundred, are contained on a single large area substrate may lead to the development of reasonable size, high-resolution, light-emitting diode displays. Another approach to the development of the solid-state flat panel display is the utilization of luminescent films. Experimental model AC-operated displays for instrumentation purposes are available. These operate at several hundred volts and suffer with respect to brightness and operational life. First-order feasibility of the usefulness of wide bandgap materials, 2,6-3,5 compounds, some with rare earth additives, has been demonstrated. These operate in a low-voltage DC mode. However, much remains to be done if large area, high-resolution, efficient, bright, low-power drain, economically feasible luminescent film displays are to make any real inroads in the information display field. The liquid crystal type of display must also be considered as a promising approach for developing a flat panel display. The concept of achieving a flat, reflective display based upon dynamic scattering from certain classes of liquid crystals has been demonstrated. However, this work is still in the relatively early experimental stages. A necessary accompanying area of development in the consideration of flat panel displays is that of providing appropriate address, control, and drive circuitry. In a conventional cathode ray tube display, it is a relatively simple matter to achieve this function by controlling the electron beam. In the flat panel type of display, however, one is generally dependent upon some sort of XY matrix addressing scheme. The development, design, and fabrication of the proper circuitry and its interfacing with the display itself is a problem of major magnitude that must be resolved if matrix-type displays incorporating a large number of resolution elements are to play a major role in the information display field. Projection-type display systems are available for use in a variety of formats and for a diversity of applications. These include light valve, front projection systems with both black and white and color capabilities. Display sizes up to 15 by 20 feet can be viewed in comfortable ambient lighting conditions, and even larger screens can be used under conventional theater lighting situations. Some of these systems are sealed, self-contained units that are mobile and easily transportable, and have demonstrated excellent life and operational reliability. Various types of films have been developed for specific display and recording features and characteristics. These include ultraviolet imaging materials, which have high photographic sensitivity, dry silver, which is a sensitive heat-developed material that has shown a CRT recording capability, photosensitive thermoplastic films, which are used primarily for projection purposes, diazo-type materials, which possess high contrast and high resolution characteristics and which are extremely stable, and photochromic materials, which are basically high resolution, low sensitivity, reversible films which revert back to the stable state when the energy source is removed. The future of laser displays is a controversial subject at this point in time. One school of thought is convinced that the laser display is the display of the future, that its potential is virtually limitless for satisfying the needs for bright, fast updating, large area, high resolution, wide dynamic range, computer-driven readout, color, holographic, three-dimensional, real-time displays. Laser displays of varying degrees of sophistication, complexity, and versatility have been demonstrated. Another school of thought believes with equal ardor that present shortcomings, economic factors, and doubtful advantages over mature, older technological approaches doom the laser display to the role of a laboratory curiosity. A number of presently unanswered questions must be resolved before the fate of the laser display will be determined. These include considerations of laser power required, overall efficiency, means for achieving a sufficient degree of laser deflection in a technically feasible, economic manner, how to modulate the light using a bandwidth commensurate with high resolution requirements, and even safety considerations. None of these points are trivial in themselves. Taken in the aggregate, the problem is a formidable one indeed. The progress still to be made in developing effective solutions to these problems will determine if the laser is destined to make a broad and practical contribution to the information display field. This report was prepared by Irving Rheingold, U.S. Army Electronics Command, Fort Monmouth.
DATE, Dial Access Technical Education, is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list, send a stamped, self-addressed envelope and the title of this report to DATE, IEEE Headquarters, 345 East 47th Street, New York 10017.